Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Well, if you want to go ahead and turn to James chapter 1, that's where we're going to be this morning. And as we continue on, last week talking to not just the seniors, but the whole church about what it means to rejoice in trials, I began to think this week about what is actually a trial. And in a minute when we read the verses, you're going to see him say, "Hey, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials." And what is a trial? So let's kind of think through that for just a moment before we dive into the text and into the message. But a trial is something that he is specifically talking about that is a hardship due to their following of Christ. That's what he is referring to as a trial. It's when you're trying to live life in an exemplary way before the Lord, not before man, but before the Lord, that things happen. So what we have to do is then we have to make sure that we are not saying that some things are a trial that are not. Now, there are things in life that come up that are hard, and there are things that we have to push through to glorify God, but sometimes those are self-inflicted. You ever had anything that you did that later cost you in some way, fashion, or form? You know, one time we decided we were going to redo something in our house, and I said, "Hey, I can do that." Any of you guys know the feeling? And then a few weeks, months, maybe a year later, you're like, "All right, maybe I need to get somebody to help me out with this because this is costing me more in the long run than it would have if I would have just said, hey, you know exactly what you're doing." And it wasn't that I did it completely wrong. It's just that I didn't have the practice. I didn't have the tools sometimes that they had. But it was self-inflicted. And many times we view trials in life, we say, "God, why is this happening?" And what we have to remember is if we make decisions that lead to certain hardships, we really can't begin to ask God, "Why are you allowing this to happen?" Because we make decisions and we know that there are consequences, either positive or negative, for every decision that we make, correct? And so whenever we see this word trials, we have to remember it's not about, hey, when we're about to pass out when we're running because we have decided that for the past 10 years we're not going to worry about our health, and then all of a sudden we're going to decide that we want to worry about our health, that God's not just going to magically let you run 3.2 miles so you can get your 5K down on the first day. In fact, you'll probably find yourself laying on the road somewhere when you wake up. And those are things that we have to understand. When we live our lives at the full extent of our income, and then something tragic happens or bad happens, and we do not have anything to help sustain us through that time period, that's not a trial. That's a consequence for how we've lived our life before either the accident or the problem. And so we have to make sure that whenever we think about trials that come up in our life, and as we look at this text, that we're not placing blame or a thought process on God that we should have known from the beginning because we have wisdom in His Word. And no matter what problem or what situation you are facing in life, and most of the problems that we have built in, God's Word speaks to it. In fact, I won't say most. Everything that we build into our lives that's a problem, God's Word speaks to it. Just because it doesn't name something specifically doesn't mean that there are not truths and wisdom given in the Word of God that we can apply to it. And so whenever we begin the process of saying, okay, why is this happening to me? The first question is what did I do to bring this about? Because if we can answer that question, then it's not truly a trial of living before the Lord. It's something that we have to learn to correct in our life. And there's a difference between walking through a trial with endurance and learning to correct something that we do wrong. Those are two different conversations. When we talk about trials that he's talking about, we're talking about when we're living our Christian life out in front of people, and because of that, because of what we believe, we are either persecuted or there are things that we have to lay down to because we are to exemplify Christ and honor Christ in all that we do. And so we just have to make that distinction that trials is not necessarily consequences, and consequences are not necessarily trials. Now, we have to be careful because there are things that happen in life that are completely not of our own doing. Sometimes illness or sickness, things like that happen, and it had nothing to do with choices that you made. We know that that's part of a fallen world, and at that moment, I would say that's how we glorify God in our life, is how do we handle those moments when something like that happens? What about whenever someone is ridiculing or somebody is saying something about us in the public arena because of what we won't do or what we talk about? And, you know, somebody shared with me this week a quote that a pastor said, and I think it's one of the best ways to explain it, is I really hope people know me for what I am about and not what I'm against. I really want people to know us, because right now, if you go around and you ask people, what does the Baptist Church believe, they're not going to tell you anything hardly about Jesus. They're going to say they believe the Bible, which that's a good thing, but evangelism has not been a huge model in the Baptist Church. It hasn't been modeled and it hasn't been done. And so when we talk about the Bible, and then they're going to say, and they're against dancing and they're against alcohol. That's what you're going to get. But I don't want to be known. I don't want our church to be known. And what that pastor said is, one day I hope that you know me for what I'm for and not what I'm against. That's a great statement. And whenever we live our life out in the public arena, there's going to be people that say, well, that's just one of those people. And that's a trial. Because you won't go so far and you won't do something that maybe your boss asked you to do to get ahead a little bit because you know that ethically it's wrong. That's a trial. It's those moments that there's a decision that is placed before you that you have to say, is it better to honor God or is it better to go my own way, even if no one knows? Is this something that I should do? It's that moment of decision that comes into your mind that you have to say, where do I go from here? And so as we read from James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 2 through 4 this morning. So if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, we're going to read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and the Word of God reads as follows. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Dear Father, I ask that this morning that you would give us wisdom, as only your Holy Spirit can grant us through your word. Father, that you would help us to live out our faith as James is going to call us to do over and over. And Father, as we walk this road, Father, give us the desire, Father, to persevere, to build our endurance, and Father, to be made complete. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. Now, last week, as we talked to the seniors, we talked about how he brings up this issue of trials. When things come from the outside, they're just happening. And so we have to remember that trials are going to happen in a Christian life. And if you have walked with Christ for even a day or 2 days, you know that there's going to be pressure from all sides about how you should live your life. In fact, it's not even outside the church. Sometimes it's inside the church. I have had countless discussions, and sometimes I've been on both sides, and it's sad because there's times that even whenever I'm discussing things, I try to think about, okay, how's that going to affect me? Instead of how does that affect my witness and my gospel? And I've had to have men who have been great role models in my life pull me aside and say, hey, where are you really going with this? Let's get to the root of the direction you're thinking. And by the end of it, I was like, hey, you know what? That's true. I need to back up a little bit. We need to walk in a different direction. I need to walk in a different direction. And I'd have to go back and correct some things. But as they are out living in life, there's so many things that happen that people say, hey, even in the church, what are we worried about? What are you worried about if somebody sees you doing that? What are you worried about? And so the pressure isn't even just outside the church. Sometimes the pressure is inside the church. And not only is it, what are you worried? You have freedom in Christ. Sometimes it's that preaching of freedom in Christ. I want to let you know something. Freedom in Christ is about your spirit being set free from the bondage of sin. It's not about being able to do whatever you want to do so you can just have more grace and that Jesus is going to give you more grace. That's not freedom in Christ. That's bondage to sin. That's a selfish mindset. And so some people say, well, it's your freedom in Christ. And they say, so why do you adhere to some things that you adhere to? But then there's this whole other side that says, oh, well, if you're going to do certain things, you have to do this, 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 and this. And they give you the check marks. And all those begin to be trials, even within the church. And just because we sit in pews doesn't mean that life doesn't happen to us. In fact, life happens in this room with all of us just as much as it does with the person who's never set foot in a church. Everyone in this room has an issue that they have to deal with, which is called sin. Everybody in this room has a problem with sin. Everybody in this room will experience something in their life that they have no control over. Sometimes it's illness, sometimes it's disease, sometimes it's car accidents. No matter what it is, we all live life at the same pace that the outside world does. And what he is saying is, brothers, when you meet trials, count it as joy, because what did we say last week? We have the right answer. This is not home. Come disease, come accident, come problems, come wealth, come poverty, no matter what it is, this is not home. And there's an amazing testimony in there, and that's what keeps us there. But listen to what he says. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, verse 2, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, we don't say steadfast very much. You know, I don't know. I've never heard somebody go, hey, I'm a pretty steadfast person. You ever had somebody describe themselves like that? I'm pretty steadfast. We'd probably all be like, okay, what do you mean by steadfast? We all have the understanding of what it means, being able to withstand things, it's able to endure through things. But this word in the Greek actually has three different meanings, and they all apply in this verse. And you say, well, can they all apply? Yes, the picture that he is painting, all of them apply. You see, whenever we understand what trials bring, trials produce things. And let's make sure we got all these. Trials produce. The very first thing is perseverance. Perseverance is what we have to have, because perseverance is what happens when adversity comes. How are you going to live your life? How are you going to make decisions? How are you going to base your thought process whenever a trial comes? Whenever something that you didn't bring upon yourself comes, what are you going to pursue? Perseverance is not easy, because perseverance is the first part of walking through a trial. It's when there really isn't a whole lot of sense in the decision you made, other than you know you're supposed to make the decision this way, you know that God's calling you to make this decision, but you may not have instant gratification, and that's what makes perseverance so hard. It's what makes perseverance so hard. We are people with so much, or a lack of perseverance is the better way to say that. We have such a problem with perseverance that we won't even try a restaurant a second time if it messed up our order the first time. We won't even, I try to not frequent McDonald's as often as possible. But we tend to say, oh, well, this is what we think, and so when they mess us up, we're not going. And you know, whether it's Mickey D's or Chick-fil-A for you or whatever, and everybody's like, oh, he just brought up Chick-fil-A in a negative light. You know what? I love Christian Chicken. It's a great place. It's awesome. The worst part is when your kid says, hey, when you say, what do you want for lunch on Sunday? And they go, Chick-fil-A, and you go, oh, they're closed on Sunday. You know, and you're like, I'm thankful for that, but I want some Polynesian sauce. You know, it's all those things, and you got to persevere through it. No, I'm just joking. But perseverance is one of those things that you don't see the instant gratification. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about a friend of mine. He's actually a pastor just north of here at Northeast Houston Baptist Church. His name's Nathan Leno. You may have heard of him or know him because he's not too far. Now, Leno is a guy, he was raised in South Africa, and I just want to tell you something. I didn't ask Leno if I could share this, and I really don't care, because, you know, I'm just not going to ask him. But Nathan, when I first met him, I met him at a camp. And Nathan preached for a youth camp that's called Student Worship University and Student Leadership University, which is a place that you send your leaders in your youth group, and they do things like training for worship team stuff, all your sound tech and lighting stuff. They have a leadership track where if they want to go into ministry or to be, if they want to go into ministry in any way, if they want to be a pastor, a youth pastor, a missionary, they can go to leadership tracks there and kind of begin to see what it looks like. And so Leno was the keynote speaker that week. And so Leno, at that point, I saw this man, and I had never met him before. Like I said, he was raised in South Africa, and he has this accent. And so when you listen to him, it's kind of like if you've ever listened to Alistair Begg on a podcast. Alistair Begg is the same way. He's from the United Kingdom. And so they talk, and you just kind of get drawn in to what they're saying because you have to kind of listen. And they have that really cool accent, and you're like, man, I really wish I had that instead of my Texas twang. But they had this accent, and so he's talking, and his sermon series was phenomenal. I still have most of the notes on it because it was about the sacrificial system and how personal it was to people. And I'll often reference that whenever we're talking about a personal God. But he had this whole sermon series, but that's not the important stuff. The important thing is that when I looked up there, I saw a man of almost 350 pounds. And Nathan was a big boy. He was a big boy. And I just remember sitting there, and I was like, man, this is a cool guy. I never thought anything of it. And what I didn't know about Nathan was a couple of years later, I didn't see Nathan for like 4 years, or at least a picture of him. Nathan had been praying because God was dealing with him with the sin of gluttony. And he began a process of having to walk through something that was not fun. You see, this is where perseverance kicks in. Whenever we do not see instant results, we tend to let go of something. That's why diets do not work for Americans. We want the quick fix because we're not going to persevere through the withdrawals. We're not going to, Elmo, are you still without coffee? I'm sorry, man. Persevere, my brother, persevere. Man, that's tough. I won't tell you what I got in the back, but that's all right. But we don't want to persevere, and so Nathan was telling me a story because I saw him about 4 years later and actually got to spend a little bit of time with him, get to know him a little bit better, and Nathan weighed 160 pounds. He was half the man, literally, that he was that first time I saw him. I oftentimes will hold up a picture of Nathan, old Nathan, and then new Nathan, and people go, that's not the same person, and it is. It's just so drastically different. And so one day, ironically, people who are in shape want to go eat every time they're with you. And you're like, that's not good because you're in shape and I'm not. And we're going to go eat. And he's like, yeah, I want to go to, he wanted to go to Lupe Tortilla up there in Atascocita. And so I go sit down with him. And I said, Nathan, just tell me, what did you do? Like, what did you do? He said, well, I decided I was going to run. And I was like, oh, heavens, that already is a big turnoff to me. And I'm just like, this is horrible. And we hadn't even got past that first stage. And he says, no, I decided to run. I said, so what'd you do? And he goes, well, the first day I got on the street, and I said, hey, I'm just going to run until I can't run anymore. And he's 350 pounds at the time. And so, or somewhere around there. I didn't ask him. I didn't call Nathan and be like, hey, what was your vitals? You know, at this time. That would be kind of a weird thing to do. He said, I decided I was going to run. And if I remember what he said correctly, he said, I got about 50 yards, and I had to sit down in the yard beside the sidewalk. I don't even know who it was, and I just laid there because I thought I was going to die. And he said, I just laid there. You see, but the next day, he marked that place where he laid down and thought he was going to die. And he said, all I got to do is get past that spot. You see, that's perseverance. Is that when we see the trial, whenever there's something that is holding us back, when there's something that's come up against us, that we say, okay, here's where I've been, and this is how far I know I can go, but God, I'm going to give you just a little bit more, and I'm going to get past that. And so he said for the first few months, it was like, if I could just get past that, and I mean, he was like, you would think it was ridiculous. It was like two mailboxes. Like, if I can go from this mailbox, three mailboxes down, I was like, man, well, how far apart are your mailboxes? He goes, well, they're regular city lots with, like, you know, 40 feet of frontage. So it's like literally 200 feet. That's all I'm running. And I'm like, that's crazy. And he was like, and then it would get to be where I could go from fire hydrant to fire hydrant. And it was just about this thing. And as he began to see the difference in himself, it wasn't overnight. It was that he made a decision that no matter what came his way, no matter how his body felt, his feet felt, his knees felt, no matter how drained he was the next day, I'm going to get up and I'm going to run again and I'm going to go further than I did the day before, no matter what. You see, that's a picture of perseverance, that whenever a trial comes our way, that we say, okay, God, I've given it to you every day so far, and today I'm going to give it again, even though I'm not seeing the benefit of giving it. You see, because Nathan wasn't losing extreme amounts of weight just because he started running. He said, as I began to see that I wasn't just losing weight, he said, I had to change my eating habits. I had to change some different things, and I just said, dude, don't bring up Bluebell. That's all I care about. Do not talk about getting off of Bluebell. And so he tells me that he had to change his eating habits, and so even though he wasn't seeing drastic differences in his life just from running, he said, I've got to go a step further because it's what I know I need to do. When those trials have come your way in your life, there's two options. And the options are, am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what I know I need to do? You see, what we want to do sometimes is to pull it all back in and say, eh, I'm done. My knees hurt. I blacked out in the neighbor's yard. But in our life, that's how we feel. Whenever we feel like, man, God, I'm walking through this, this coworker is just... They're so rough. They're pushing on everything I say. Even if I just bow my head before my meal and I don't pray out loud and I pray silently, man, they're just talking to me during the prayer. They're doing all this stuff. And you say, oh, that kind of stuff doesn't happen. You ask some of these young men that work in control rooms and as operators and things like that, they'll tell you there are guys that push back on anything. You don't think it happens whenever you're trying to be quiet and not talk about what every other lady at the table's talking about because you know that that prayer request is not prayer request? It's a gossip session masked in the camouflage of a prayer request? And they say, hey, what do you think? And whenever you say, I just really don't think I should comment on that, the next day you hear about what they talked about when you got up from the table. See, trials, when we stand up for what we believe in, it's do we want to do what we want to do? We want to go back and tell those ladies what we think. We're people. There's a commercial out right now. It's one of my favorite. It's talking about mangoes. Hey, do you know that mangoes can get sunburn? Any of y'all know that? It's very interesting, but you can get a sunburn on a mango. And so there's this commercial about a guy who has a mango for a head, and he goes on a cruise, and he comes back and has sunburn, so everybody in the office is just, you know, hey, who's this lobster in Larry's desk, and all this other kind of, I mean, just making fun of him because he's all sunburnt, like some people will do whenever you're sunburnt, and they always slap you on the back, and you're just like, and he said, and so the one guy that's making fun of him, the mango guy, Larry, pulls out a ukulele and goes, well, I bought you something, he's holding the ukulele, and he beats it on the desk and breaks it to pieces, and he goes, I hope you enjoy it. I mean, that's real thought process. When somebody's doing something, that's how we think. We think, man, how can I get back? But then there's that moment that we have to say, okay, but God, you've called me. And if you've never thought that, maybe I just brought myself way down in your respect level. But here's what I know. I have seen so many people say, oh, I don't think that way at all, but I'll watch you cut off somebody on the freeway. They got in front of me. They're driving too slow in the left lane, which is a pet peeve of mine. And you cut them off. Anyways, we all think that way. But it's about what are we going to do? And we begin to build that perseverance up to not where we just have perseverance, but we begin to have endurance. You see, that word steadfastness, it's about persevering through the hard time, but then also having the endurance to keep doing it whenever maybe things aren't changing as fast as you want. Maybe when everything's coming your way in a negative light, you are able to say, okay, God, I'm giving it back to you again today. I'm giving it back to you again today. I'm giving it back to you again today. You see, trials are not a start and finish issue. Some trials will last from the moment they start until you leave this earth. Some trials will never leave, and I think that's where we get things wrong. We think that when we pray enough that God's just going to fix it. Sometimes he's saying, hey, you know what this trial is? It's not just so I can fix it, it's because I'm fixing you. I'm correcting a thought process in your heart. I'm changing a grace issue in your heart. I'm looking at you and saying, you know how you're hypocritical in this area? This is how I'm moving you out of that. God is taking us from one place to another, and it's about that endurance of saying, okay, God, I trust you enough that every day I will hand you the same trials and the same issues and say, they're yours. Because trials are going to come. Perseverance is when you make the decisions you're going to keep doing it. Endurance is that moment that Nathan decided, you know what, I don't have to measure by mailboxes anymore. I can go by fire hydrants. I can go further. Nathan would eventually run a 5K. And he would say, hey, that was pretty good. And so after he got with a 5K, he was like, I'm going to do a 10K. Because he was building endurance. It was a sustainable energy, a sustainable process in his body that he had built himself in such a way physically that he could walk. And trials are there because God is building in us in such a way that we can continue to walk. You ever notice, we like the verse all the time that they will run and not grow weary, they'll walk and not grow faint. You ever notice that it says that they can sit down and rest anywhere? The path is always forward. The path is never stopping. Saying, okay, God, I'm done for a little bit. You see, endurance is about taking that perseverance, that decision that, God, I'm going to give it to you over and over, and saying, okay, now, God, I've done this for 40 days. 41 is just another day, and you got this. And then as you get to day 60, God, I haven't seen much change, but you've been dealing with it for 60 days. And man, I love that person more than I ever have because I've been praying for them and you told me to pray for them. And it's hard to hate people who are your enemies when you're praying for them. Eventually, that verse, love your enemies, really becomes true because when you pray for people who maybe you don't like or maybe they don't like you, your heart begins to shift in their direction to where they become somebody that you are focused on, not in negative light, but in, man, they need Jesus. You see, that endurance begins to build a life pattern. And we talked last week, and I told the college students about, you know, you're going to get credit card applications, you're going to get all this stuff. You see, whenever we begin to see that endurance taking place, when we realize, hey, we can't solve the problem with this person, but we can solve the problem in our heart of how we view that person, and it begins to change in us, then we kind of look around and we start thinking about other people. Man, why do I think about that? Because that perseverance of choosing God's direction all the time begins to point out things in our life. It begins to show us that there are things that while we think we have it all together, God's saying, hey, you may have a life all together, but your heart needs to persevere through some issues that you're hanging on to, old hurts. Things that you thought you let go of. The other day we were talking about something, and Cadence was telling us about something that happened with one of her friends, and she was like, yeah, it was an accident, but it's not a bygone. And we're like, what's that mean? And she goes, you know the old saying, let bygones be bygones, and that means you kind of just, you know, you kind of forget, and you just let it be under the bridge. She goes, I know she did on accident, but that's not a bygone yet. We're like, well, all right. You know, and I'm sitting there going, man, as a guy, I don't even remember what I ate yesterday. I'm just looking forward to what I'm eating tomorrow and things like that. But I was like, how do they hold on to stuff like that? But we all harbor things in our heart. And when trials come our way and God's saying, just be dependent on me, what he's doing is he's taking his hands and he is weeding out the things in our life that we have held on to because it is about perseverance and endurance. And if we're going to continue to run this race well, we have to get rid of the things that are holding us back. And when Nathan started running, he didn't see lasting effects or just this effect right now. He began to see it after days and days and days, to where eventually he realized, man, I gotta go buy new pants. I gotta buy new shirts. I can't fit into anything I have. And I imagine his wife was like, we'll go buy them. I imagine Nathan was like, man, this is a lot of money. Because we always tend to think about the negative, but God's using things in our life to continue to pull out the things that are hindering us. And just like Nathan's weight loss, the more we trust in God, the more he pulls out of our life that hinders us, and we are able to run the race more effectively for Christ. You see, that's what the Christian life is about. It's about running a life that is an effective witness for Jesus Christ, our King. The Christian life is about living before God, and it shows people that there is a better way than every other way the world wants to throw at us. Nathan now, I hate to say this because it just shows how much of a struggle I have with this. Nathan now runs a marathon twice a month. It's 26, I believe, 0.2 miles. Don't leave out the 0.2. He runs it twice a month, and it's not in an actual marathon. He just does it on his own. He'll get out on a Saturday morning and he'll just run 26.2 miles. On the other weekends, it's usually a half marathon, which is 13.1 if you don't do the math yourself. And he does that. You see, because he understood that perseverance is what it took to get to a place of endurance, and then endurance is what it took to a place of completeness or wholeness or fullness. You see, what he's saying, that's the third point. Trials produce dependence. Fullness is not about us being perfect. It's about when we completely depend on God, that he fills us with everything we need and we're completely dependent on him for every situation. You see, when he says being made complete, he's saying, hey, you're not going to lack anything, because whenever you decide that I am your all in all, that's the perfect way to live. The perfect way to live your life in front of people, the complete way to live your life in front of people, is to say, God, I give you everything every day. From my children who don't live with me to my children who do live with me that I want to lock in their room sometimes. To the ones that leave home to go to college and you wish you could lock them in their room. For the situations that you have no control over, are you completely dependent on God? Because that's where fullness of life begins. It's about emptying ourselves and saying, God, you take control.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.